I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Martin Luther and baptismal regeneration. Luther and the issue of baptismal regeneration. Baptismal regeneration. Now, the reason I'm doing the show today is because we got an email from one of our listeners who said this. Said, quote, "Mr. Pinto," this is from Cindy in Wisconsin. Cindy in Wisconsin says, "Mr. Pinto, I just listened to some of your programs regarding the Reformation, John Calvin and Luther." She says, "In all humbleness, I would like to ask you if you have read Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. Luther was the author of both of these, also the articles Calvin wrote in his Institutes on Baptism and Double Predestination. I cannot find anything where either man denounced baptismal regeneration before their death. Isn't that according to the scriptures, another gospel, and these men should be accursed, anathema? Thank you so much for your time, Cindy." Okay. Well, Cindy, praise the Lord that you sent this email, because this is an issue that comes up every now and again. I've had people write to me about this before. It's been a few years since I did a program on it. But I am going to actually quote to you from Martin Luther himself. We're going to read some of Luther's teachings very directly. And I'm going to be quoting from a work that I highly recommend, which is What Luther Says by E.M. Plass. What Luther Says by E.M. Plass. As I've said before on the program, whenever I talk about this book, the reason it's a great book for Martin Luther is because, and I wish we had one like this for all the reformers, because this work will tell you about what Luther taught on virtually every subject alphabetically. It's laid out like a dictionary or an encyclopedia. So it's all alphabetical, so you can go to the letter B and look up baptism and see what Luther had to say about baptism. And he has quite a lot to say, but it's pretty clear that he collectively did not believe baptismal regeneration. But what happens is when you read some of his quotes seem to go in a different direction. But we're going to talk about that. I'm going to quote Luther himself and let his own words represent what he believed and what he taught to others in his lifetime. All right, so let's first talk about what is baptismal regeneration for those who may not know. Baptismal regeneration is the idea that water baptism is necessary for salvation, and that you cannot be saved without water baptism. And the scripture typically that people will go to, if they believe that, is they'll go to the end of Mark chapter 16, where in verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Okay? Now, some people take where Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So therefore, they argue that you not only have to believe, but you must also be baptized, by which they mean water baptism, or else you cannot be saved. That's the argument for baptismal regeneration. But is that what Martin Luther believed? Today we're going to talk about Luther, and then on the next program I'm going to try and cover Calvin. But I think it's going to take time to do both. So, here's what Luther said on baptism. And he actually said quite a few things. He actually has a lot of quotes on this. So I'm going to read those that I think are most significant All right. So Plass says this, faith and unbelief do affect personal benefit of baptism. Faith and unbelief, whether you believe or you don't believe, it affects the personal benefit of baptism, whether or not baptism is of any benefit to someone. So Luther said this, he said, quote, when I say honor father and mother, and you go and do the opposite, God's command and injunction remain intact. Just so, baptism is right and remains true, even though it were proved that a little child or an old person who had been baptized does not believe. Whether I believe or do not believe, baptism is and remains right and good by itself. But this is also true, he says. He says, but this is also true. If I believe, baptism is a benefit to me. If, on the other hand, I do not believe, baptism is forever no benefit to me. So in other words, what he's saying is that baptism without faith is of no benefit. There's no benefit to having somebody either sprinkled with water or immersed in water or any of that. Any baptismal ceremony is of no benefit if a person does not believe. Luther also taught on baptism. Here's another quote. Luther said, quote, it is decreed by God that whatever is not faith avails nothing and receives nothing. But if they say, as they will do, after all, baptism itself is a work, and you say works avail nothing for salvation, what then becomes of faith? I answer, it is true our works certainly contribute nothing toward our salvation. Baptism, however, is not our work, but God's. For as was stated, you will have to make a great distinction between Christ's baptism and an immersionist's baptism. God's works are beneficial and necessary for salvation. They do not exclude, but require faith. For without faith, they could not be apprehended. For by permitting water to be poured over you, you have not as yet received and observed baptism in such a manner that it benefits you. But it does become beneficial to you if you have yourself baptized because you believe that it is performed according to God's command and order and in God's name too, so that you may receive in the water the promised salvation. Now, neither the hand nor the body can grasp this salvation. The heart must believe it. Thus you clearly see that there is no work here which we perform, but a treasure which he gives us, he meaning God, capital H, a treasure which he gives us and which faith apprehends. All right, now this is where you have quotes from Luther that tend to confuse people. This is where you read that quote where he says back here, where he says God's works, he's calling baptism God's work. He says, baptism, however, is not our work, but God's. For, as was stated, you will have to make a great distinction between Christ's baptism and an immersionist baptism. And he says, God's works are beneficial and necessary for salvation. So he's arguing there that baptism is God's work. Now, does he mean by that water baptism? Because remember, in the New Testament, you have two types of baptism. There's the baptism of water, and then the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay, by the Spirit of God. Is Luther talking about water baptism there when he says baptism is God's work and so on? Well, it's a little bit perplexing based upon that quote. However, I would take people to another quote from Luther. And here's the headline from Plass, who's the editor. He says, quote, faith saves without baptism, but not baptism without faith. Okay? And that is Plass's interpretation, E.M. Plass's interpretation of Luther. Now we're going to read what Luther himself actually says. Luther said this, quote, a person can believe although he is not baptized, for baptism is no more than an external sign to remind us of the divine promise. If one is able to get baptism, it is well. Then one should take it, for no one should despise it. But if one were not able to get it, or one were denied it, he is nonetheless not damned, provided that he believes the gospel. For where the gospel is, there baptism also is, and everything a Christian needs, because damnation follows upon no sin except unbelief alone. This is also the reason why the Lord says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." He does not say, "He that is not baptized," but is silent about baptism. Okay, so there he's making reference again to Mark chapter 16, where Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So Jesus himself makes reference to the unbeliever, that the real issue is not baptism, it's faith. Okay, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Condemnation comes through unbelief, not necessarily avoiding the ceremony of baptism. That seems to be Luther's point. Okay, so he says, quote, "He does not say, 'He that is not baptized,' but is silent about baptism, for baptism is useless without faith. It is like a letter to which seals are attached, but in which nothing has been written. Therefore, he who has the signs, which we call sacraments, and not faith, has seals only, seals attached to a letter without any writing." So hopefully that answers your question, Miss Cindy, about whether or not Luther believed in baptismal regeneration. Because there I think he's very, very clear. Very clearly saying he does not believe, because baptismal regeneration, again, is that you must be water baptized in order to become a new creature in Christ, to be born again. You've got to be born again through the ceremony of baptism. And clearly Luther has refuted that in that teaching. He said, no, that's not it. You're saved by faith. It's because you have faith in the gospel of Christ. You have faith in Christ, but you don't necessarily have the ceremony of baptism, then you're not necessarily going to be condemned. You're going to be saved, you'll go to heaven, etc. But should we be baptized in water? Well, Luther certainly believes so. He dedicates a lot of time in other quotes and things like that, saying that baptism should not be despised. It's something that if you as a believer can do, you should do. You should be baptized if you've never been baptized. But there are those, I mean, even in churches today, there are some who believe that water baptism is necessary for salvation. Another scripture that they point to is John chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 5, where Jesus is in a conversation with Nicodemus, and he says in verse 5, "Jesus answered, 'Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.'" So, born of water there, it is apparently assumed that the water has to do with a literal physical baptism in literal physical water. However, water is not necessarily always intended in the literal sense. You have, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul, well, let's go back up to verse 25. This is where it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So Paul here mentions washing by water of the word. The word of God is often likened to water throughout the Old and sometimes in the New Testament. Jesus says to the apostles at one point, he says, "You are cleansed by the word that I have spoken unto you." So the word of God is sometimes likened unto water, that the knowledge of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How do we have knowledge of God? Through the word of God. So the word of God is repeatedly likened to water. So what it appears Jesus is actually saying in John chapter 3 is that a person must be born again of water, the water of the word of God, hearing the preaching of the word of God and believing God's word, and then being reborn by the power of the Spirit of God and becoming a new creature in Christ. All right, we are coming up on our commercial break. Let's go to our commercial and we will talk more when we come back right after this.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about Martin Luther and the issue of baptismal regeneration. Baptismal regeneration. And we're addressing today a question from one of our listeners about whether or not this is what Martin Luther actually believed. According to his own writings or his own teachings that have been recorded by others, Luther did not believe baptismal regeneration. However, if you read the things that he said, there's no question he believed baptism was a very important sacrament, not one to be ignored. He also didn't think that it was meaningless. Why? Because it was something commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he did not believe that God would command us to do anything that is somehow or other unimportant. So if baptism has been commanded by our Lord, then it's something important and it's something that we need to pay attention to. However, we need to have a right understanding of it. And that's what Luther seems to be saying. So collectively, he does not believe that water baptism is going to save anyone. He does believe, and he says very clearly, that a person can be saved by faith alone without baptism, but they're not going to be saved by baptism without faith. He makes that very clear. However, we have to acknowledge that you have some of Luther's teachings that because he's really getting into, I think you may have two things going on here. One, Luther was just immersed in biblical theology. I mean, he lived at a time where this is what people talked about. People cared about baptism and communion and the things that pertain to Christ and the Christian faith. That was the central focus of society. You have that, and then you also have translation, because remember, Luther was German, and his writings and teachings and things like that are being translated from German into English, and I think there may be, you know, possibly some translation issues, possibly. I'd have to research it more, in all honesty. But he's getting into in-depth theology, because some people would argue that if you're saved by grace through faith, not of works, then some might argue, well, then why do you need to get baptized? Why do you need baptism at all? In fact, I there's a preacher right now who I've listened to on TV. He's a local preacher, and he has like a local access channel preaching where he believes that water baptism is unnecessary. And so they don't water baptize as a result. And that seems to be the idea, at least that's my impression, that Luther's confronting in this next quote I'm going to give you. All right, so this says, yet baptism is valid even though not believed. Here's what Luther says. He says, quote, no matter what my relation to faith may be, whether faith comes to me or endures, my faith or lack of faith neither contributes anything to baptism nor detracts anything from it. In fact, even though I were never to believe, baptism would still be right and complete, for it does not depend on my belief or unbelief, but on the ordinance and institution of Christ. If a designing Jew were now to come to us in order to deceive us, acted as if he wanted to become a Christian and desired baptism, so that the pastor or priest would baptize him in the water before our eyes and speak these words, I baptize thee in the name and at the command of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, etc. Then the Jew would be really and truly baptized, although he would think nothing of it in his heart, and thereafter would publicly mock and blaspheme the sacrament. For if you do not believe, despite the order and command of God, God is not concerned. Are his ordinance and command to mean nothing, or to be nullified by your unbelief and misuse? Let it rather be as St. Paul says, Romans 3:4, although all men are false and given to lies, yet his word and ordinance are to be true and immovable. And he seems to be referring to let God be true and every man a liar. Blessed are you if you believe it and use it aright. If you do not believe it, you receive it to your own damnation. And he's talking about baptism there. So it sounds like when you're listening to the first part of what Luther's saying, he's saying that God's command to baptize those who believe is not somehow or other diminished because somebody shows up and deceives the church and claims to be a believer when they're not. The church is not wrong to baptize somebody who's not a real believer, even though they say they are. They claim that they're a real believer so that the church baptizes them. It's not the fault of the church because they're obeying the commandment of Christ. That seems to be what Luther is getting at, that baptism is not diminished because it is the ordinance of God. It's the commandment of God. Luther comments on this a bit further, saying the value of money is unaffected by refusal to accept it. He says, quote, it is terrible to hear that people venture to slander God's work by saying, the trouble is that if he who receives baptism does not believe, the baptism is no good. If a person were given 100 gulden, G-U-L-D-E-N, type of money, if a person were given 100 gulden but refused to take them, the 100 gulden would certainly retain their value, would they not? The fact that the fellow does not want the money does not in any way harm the gold. The same principle applies in the case of baptism. So Luther seems to be defending the ordinance of baptism and that the performing of it by the church should not be interrupted because there are some who claim to believe when they don't really believe. That seems to be what he's getting at. His wordplay, the way that he explains it at times, kind of goes back and forth and can be a little bit confusing. But I think that's what he's trying to say. But I think the main point, just in terms of addressing whether or not Luther believed in baptismal regeneration, the idea that being immersed or sprinkled with water, etc. And just so for those who are wondering, Luther did believe baptism by immersion. He did believe baptism by immersion, which he explains elsewhere. But he did not believe that the idea of a literal water baptism was going to lead to salvation, that salvation comes by God's grace through faith, not of works, and that a person could have faith in the gospel and be saved, even if they're not baptized, he says that, but the reversal could not be true. You could not be baptized without faith and somehow or other be saved. That's the point that he makes. Here's another point. There's several quotes where Luther, on the issue of baptism, actually speaks against presuming on the grace of God. He says, baptism to free from life of sin, not to console in it. So Luther says, quote, you have been absolved from sin and come to grace in order to live a different life now and to abstain from sins. To be baptized and yet to remain in sin makes no sense. For baptism is administered for the very purpose of taking away sin, that a man may now become pious and increase in good works. That whereas he formerly was disobedient, angry, envious, faithless, and unchaste, he may now lay aside these vices, pray a Lord's Prayer instead, and henceforth earnestly strive to be obedient, patient, and kind. If you fail to do this, then do not think that all is well with you, and do not glory greatly in the grace of Christ and excuse your sin with it. All right, so he's clearly speaking against the idea of baptismal regeneration or thinking that once you're baptized, that you can just sin and do whatever you want. He clearly did not believe that. All right, so one more quote from Luther before we close. And this one, I think, on a positive note, Luther said, quote, dear friend, in your baptism, you entered into brotherhood with Christ, with all the angels, saints, and Christians on earth. Hold to this fraternity and live up to its demands, and you have brotherhoods enough. Praise the Lord. So I thought that was, a great quote. That baptism, really being baptized into Christ, we are baptized into the family of God. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.